Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast. Lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate coming up on FanDuel. Sean Kane here, your host. It is Wednesday, February 8th. Massive slate. Three games last night, four times the games tonight. That means 12 games. Hopefully you remember your times tables. First, got to start with a shout out to all those fan forecast team guys, Joe, Antoine, Loco, you know, Cody. I was just talking to Cody Barber on Twitter about some some value plays. They're gonna get together. Those guys are gonna break down the slate. Look for some articles up there on fan forecast. If you're not following fan forecast on Twitter, do it. Do it now. You definitely should. Shout out to the guys who were talking to me on Twitter last night. Jeff, DFS Spectre. DFS Spectre, appreciate your reassurance. I was asking the question of whether or not I should be on Beverly and Aaron Gordon or Bojan and Yogi. I mean, I think both would have worked out eventually because of the Aaron Gordon injury, but Beverly went bananas, had a nice game against Elf there. So thank you for that reassurance there, Mr. Spectre. Appreciate that. Hey, also, shout out to my man DFS Bear. Did an interview with him last night, talking process, of course, talking short slates versus large slates, and, you know, some of the mistakes that he likes to make where he, you know, admittedly says, you know, sometimes falls in love with certain plays and knows that he shouldn't. So definitely a nice conversation that we had there. In the next hour, though, we are going to preview the night to come in the NBA. We'll go over spreads, we'll go over injury news, and then we'll break down players to target on the slate upcoming. Before we do that, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay. I started to think about making some changes, but then I was like, no, lock it in, stick with what you got. And we went with Kemba and Beverly, and then a shooting guard. We were on Harden and Batum at small forward. It was Gordon and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at power forward. It was Frank the Tank and Ibaka, and then at center it was Capella. I was not the only one on that line. There was like a whole pod of us, like eight people. Because, I mean, I think the reality is once you locked in some of those guys who are in the best situations, you know, Kemba, Harden, and Batum, you know, it kind of took shape on its own, you know. And if you didn't trust the Portland-Dallas game, then that was that made a lot of sense. Although McCollum, you know, we talked about this. McCollum took advantage of the fact that the Mavs don't guard the three. So it's something to keep in mind that, you know, you can shoot the three. 3-point shooters against the Mavs are something to keep an eye on. So we didn't make any changes. Hit 301 on the nose. Very, very nice to get into the cash. Wish I had put a little bit more money out there. I was a little bit nervous coming off a couple rough nights. I decided that, you know, okay, small slate, anything can happen. I may as well just, you know, play it safe. But it worked, you know. 300 is that number, guys. That's that magic number. Everybody does what they're supposed to do, pulls their weight. Even with the Gordon injury, you know, value guys who are in a good position exceeded. So pretty simple, straightforward, nice night. All right, so let's not waste any time because we got 12 games to break down. So let's dive into the games tonight. All right, like I said, massive slate. And actually, the tonight's slate, Thursday's slate, and Friday's slate are all pretty big. These Wednesday, Thursday, Friday runs that we're getting from the NBA are pretty huge. Tuesday and Sunday seem to be the nights where they don't really care about, you know, putting it out on TV. So first game of the night, we got San Antonio traveling to Philly. 209 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 10. Looking like Embiid is still going to be out in this one. You know, the knee is better, but I don't think they're going to play him anytime soon. So Doesn't look like Embiid is going to be out, so we will continue to attack the 76ers front court. Kawhi Leonard is going to play. He has said the thigh contusion is not a big deal, and he will play in Philly. Then we're moving on. Cleveland at Indiana. 217 total in this one. Cavs are favored by 3 on the road. Iman Shumpert has an ankle, and he is doubtful to play. It's very interesting. That should open up some usage maybe for Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love, all three in this game. On the Indiana side of the ball, Thaddeus Young still dealing with that wrist, so we'll see if Thad Young is a go tonight or not. Not really sure about that one. Washington at Brooklyn. Brooklyn got the back-to-back, home back-to-back. 225 total in this one, but no surprise, the Wiz favored by 10.5 here. No serious injuries on the Wizards side of the ball. Caris LeVert is likely back for the Nets, but I'm not playing any Nets tonight. Then we've got Denver going down to Atlanta. 224 total in this one. Atlanta favored by 4. Nice pace-up matchup for the Hawks. Kenneth Faried likely back after that personal day out. Moutier still dealing with the back, so he's a game time. Tabo Cephalosha ruled out with that groin today. Still nagging at him, so fire up your Tim Hardaway Juniors. Should be a good spot to attack. Good game to roster some Hawks. And then we've got the Lakers and the Pistons. Lakers kind of moving their way from the East Coast back over to the West Coast on this road trip that they're on. 216 total, no question. Pistons favored at home here by 7. No serious injury news to really be concerned about on this one. So we'll take a look at that game. There's some interesting plays in there. Then we've got Miami at Milwaukee, 209 total in this one. Milwaukee favored by 3 at home, but I don't know, given Miami's recent hot streak, kind of find that hard to believe, you know, and Milwaukee obviously in the opposite direction. Looking at Deion Waiters is dealing with an ankle, but he played on it, I believe, against Minnesota, so I don't think it's going to be an issue. But if for some reason he decides to rest, that's interesting. Opens up a lot of like Tyler Johnson, because Josh Richardson is still out. So keep an eye on that news about Waiters. I don't think he'll play. And I don't know how much I like this game, to be honest with you. Kind of a hot Miami team and a struggling Milwaukee team and a lot of guys who are really priced up. I mean, Dragic priced up, Waiters priced up, Giannis is priced up to 10-7. Like, what are you doing, FanDuel? Haven't you paying attention to how Giannis has played? I mean, he had a great game against the Suns, but, you know, I don't get it. Phoenix at Memphis, a little bit of a rematch, running this one back. 211 total in this one. Memphis favored by 9 at home. No serious injuries to be concerned about in this one. Everybody seems healthy, so fire up your Mike Conley's, perhaps. Should be interesting. Oh, Chandler Parsons playing in this game. But, you know, I don't know. Chandler Parsons, you know, eventually Chandler Parsons is going to get normal minutes and is going to start to do normal scoring things, but keep an eye on him. It's just not happening yet. Then we've got Utah at New Orleans. Utah coming off that nice win in Atlanta. They scored 120 points. Kind of an outlier game, just to be honest with you. I would not chase that. Utah does not usually score that many points, especially if they get to run the game that they want, you know, nice and slow. 199 total in this one. Utah favored by 4 on the road. Rodney Hood out with a knee. Tyreek Evans doubtful with an ankle. You know, that's interesting. Tyreek Evans out. You know, you may have some Buddy Hield. You may have some Etuan Moore getting some minutes there. Kind of an interesting value play, GPP interest in that one. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know how quite to attack that game. I don't know if I am going to attack that game. A lot of guys priced up. Hayward and Gobert almost. Hayward's 8K and Gobert's 7-8. It just doesn't really interest me. Toronto at Minnesota. Now, this should be a competitive game. 212 total in this one. Toronto getting 3.5 points, even though they're on the road. DeMar DeRozan back from the ankle. We'll see if he plays again tonight. Not really sure if he's going to play or if he will rest, but probably going to play. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, hey, if he aggravated that ankle, they may rest him. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that. But he looked, I mean, he played really well in his bounce back game against the Clippers. So, Patrick Patterson seems to still be out for the, Raptors as well. And of course, you know, we have no Zach LaVine on the Minnesota side of the ball. So we're looking at maybe some, a boost for some of those, Timberwolves there. All right, the West Coast games. Oh, no, sorry, this isn't a West Coast game. This is in New York, still in the early slate. We've got the Clippers at the Knicks. 221 total in this one. Clippers are only favored by 1.5. Very interesting. Joakim Noah likely out with that hammy. And Chris Paul obviously still out. So some interesting plays in this one for sure. Raymond Felton moved into the starting lineup over Austin Rivers. And, like, Raymond Felton quietly has been just unbelievably consistent as of late. So a really nice cash game play if you want to make sure that you get 20-plus points out of your point value point guard. You know, if he falls to you at that price, you kind of are – you're okay with it. Like, I don't have a problem with that. We'll keep a news on the Noah news to see whether or not it's O'Quinn or Hernan Gomez. You know, Hernan Gomez obviously been way more productive, but now he's priced up to 6K. So, eh, I don't know. Chicago at Golden State, 223 total in this one. Golden State favored by 14. Jimmy's got the game time tag. Clay, actually also has a game time tag. He's got a personal issue going on. That may keep him out of this one. This is an interesting one. I like this game if Jimmy plays and Clay sits. Like, that then becomes very interesting to me. Golden State still wins by double digits, no question, but I think that it opens up fantasy value for sure. If Clay plays and Jimmy sits the reverse, then this is a shit show. Don't touch it. We'll see. And then the last game of the night, the late hammer here, Boston at Sacramento, 211 total here, and Boston favored by 8 on the road. Avery Bradley still out with the Achilles. And of course, our boy Boogie serving the one game suspension for pushing a coach, you know, the double T in that last game against Chicago. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, the whole thing about Boogie, and maybe, you know, maybe people agree with me on this. Like, yes, he's volatile. Yes, he's crazy. And in LeBron's NBA, you know, with LeBron and Steph being these poster child children for sportsmanship and, you know, nice guys, et cetera, et cetera. Boogie kind of is an outcast. But you mean to tell me that in the early 90s that Boogie would not have been just another mean, nasty NBA player? Like, no one goes back and looks at the 1990-91 Pistons and goes, oh, those guys just had character issues. You know, they weren't good team players. They were just mean. You know, I mean, like, Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, those dudes were mean as hell. And Boogie doesn't put up with anybody. I don't blame him either. He gets a lot of shit. You know, like, I'm sorry. I'm a Boogie apologist. He's tough to deal with. But you know what? I think his teammates in Sacramento, aside from Rudy Gay, I think his teammates in Sacramento probably don't mind him. You know, it doesn't seem like they all have a serious problem with him. His coach has figured out how to make him productive. I'm just kind of tired of the whole, like, Boogie's such a terrible guy narrative. You know, it's tired, you know? It's like, if this was this isn't Ron Artest jumping into the stands. This is a guy who has a temper, who gets into trouble. Let's just call it that. He's got a temper. He mouths off at people. okay, you know, like throw a fine at him, suspend him, but we don't need to make it into more than it is. You know, he's got a crappy attitude, but a lot of guys in the NBA have crappy attitudes. So, Boogie apologist. I'm good with it. Let's put him in a time machine and put him back in 1991 NBA, and he'll be everybody's favorite player. Anyway, all right, so those are the games. Like I said, massive, massive slate. Interestingly enough, you basically got everything East Coast in that 8 o'clock time slot, and then only two late games on the West Coast, the Chicago Golden State and the Boston Sacramento. So if you want a late hammer, those are where you're going. All right, so that is that for the game breakdown. Let's take a look at what the juiciest games of the night are tonight. We've got a couple games over 215, you know, high total games. So over 215, you've got Denver, Atlanta, Washington, Brooklyn, LA, New York, Detroit, LA, Cleveland, Indiana, and Golden State, Chicago. Okay, so if you want to narrow down, we always talk about narrowing down these big slates. You know, you're targeting these games with high totals or high pace. Okay, so Denver, Atlanta is interesting. Washington at Brooklyn, obviously. You know, a lot of these high total games also have high spreads. So if you're looking for high total plus competitive games, that Cleveland, Indiana game is interesting. The Clippers, Knicks game is interesting. And I think Denver, Atlanta should be interesting as well. And then if you're looking for high pace, Washington, Brooklyn, Denver, Atlanta, Golden State, Chicago, and Indy, Cleveland. Those are all the high pace games of the night. With obviously the Wizards get a pace bump, the Hawks get a pace bump, the Bulls get a pace bump, and the Pacers will get a pace bump as well. The Grizzlies will also get a massive pace bump with Phoenix. But Phoenix is on the road, so, you know, Memphis might be able to dictate the pace a little bit better there. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the lock and load segment where we break down the top-tier players that we love. Who do you love? Okay, jumping into the top tier of players, you know, this is a night you really want to be judicious about where you're spending your money, I think. There's a lot of attractive options, but there's a lot of mid-tier options too, so be careful here. All right, at point guard, we've got two possibilities, and I'll differentiate here when and, you know, how you want to spend. We've got John Wall at 10-5 with Brooklyn, and then you've got Steph at 9-9 with Chicago. Both are in positive DVP situations. We know that Brooklyn and Chicago both struggled against the point guard. Bulls are bottom three in the DVP to the point guard in the last five games. They've given up, like, you know, they gave up a huge game to Collison. Collison got a price jump because of the Bulls. You know, they also allow six made three-pointers per game to the guard. Steph would get a massive usage bump if Klay is out, which would be amazing. Like, Steph all day. Give me Steph and KD all day if Klay is out. I don't know if I want to pay for him in a situation when I don't know if that game's going to be competitive, though. You know, I think he's a lock for 40, but at 9-9, you want him to almost hit 50. You know, and Wall is also looking, he's a lock for 40, 45, but do you think he's going to hit 50 given the risk of blowout and the way that those starting five in Washington is playing? You know, there's kind of a lack of ceiling opportunity for both of these guys. And Wall's on the road. We prefer Wall at home. You know, it feels like they could both land you in the 40s. That's not really what I want from my studs. I want them plus 50. I want them plus 55. You know, because reality is there's a couple guys tonight in the point guard slate that could land you in the 40s. You know, Mike Conley could land you in the 40s. Even Schroeder might be able to get you into the 40s. So I don't know how much I'm going to be paying up for point guard tonight, but Steph and John Wall are both interesting. Steph is especially interesting if Klay is out. That usage bump, he's almost 1.35 fantasy points per minute if Klay is out, and a 30% plus usage rate. So keep your eye on the news there. All right, at shooting guard, this is really tough. You're priced up. Everybody's priced up across the board. D Wade is all the way up to 8K. Giannis, like I mentioned, is 10-7 against Miami. Miami has been very good against perimeter players. I'm not interested in Giannis against Miami. He only had 39 last time against Miami. I'm not taking, I'm not touching that 10-7. There's no way he gets to 50, almost 60 points, 55. I mean, of course he could because he's Giannis. I don't want him in a slow game, and Miami plays slow. And Miami plays good defense. So I think you're going to go down to Bradley Beal at 7-4. I don't mind. I also don't mind DeMar DeRozan. You know, he had a nice bounce back game. Minnesota has struggled against the shooting guard, especially without LaVine. But if you're going to pay for something that could get you 35 plus, I think that Beal is the best way to get 35 or 35 plus. He's got a great situation against against the Nets. He's had an excellent average of 35 points against the Nets in three games this year. You know, the security is just really nice. He'll be able to shoot the ball pretty easily against this Nets backcourt. He gets his good 30 minutes. You know, you trust Bradley Beal to get you to value. And in 7-4, he really only needs, what, 36 points to get you there? Fine, I'll take it, you know, even at 35. When Beal is in these nice plus DVP situations, he's so consistent. You know, we rostered him last week, and he just hit 35 right on the head. So a good cash game play. Yeah, you're paying up for it, but you're paying up for security. Moving on to small forward. Small forward is also a difficult situation. There's a lot of nice value in the sixes today, and I'll talk about like four of them. In the mid tier here, but I think KD is in an interesting position for a couple reasons. At 10-3, I think he's going to be underowned, and he's one of the nice lower price studs. I mean, LeBron is obviously great, but he's at 11-5 now. LeBron at 11-5, coming off that overtime game. You know, you're probably not going to get overtime, and you are going to get Paul George defense in this game. I think, you know, I don't think we'll get extra time in this Indiana game. The reason I say KD is because of his consistency. Okay, you add the possibility of Klay being out. I think that KD is in a really good spot. So he just had a real dud of a game against Sacramento. He only scored 10 real life points. He only scored 40 fantasy points. He has a tendency to really bounce back. If you look at his game logs, any situation where he scores, you know, poorly in one game, he really does choose to bounce back. He kind of goes, you know, maybe in the 30s, and then he'll go back up to 50. I know that's anecdotal evidence. I wish I could give you more, but I didn't go through the whole season. I went through, you know, the last 20 games basically and noticed, okay, bad game, good game. He doesn't have bad games often, but he definitely bounces back. You know, you can combine that with the fact that in 100% of his matchups against the Bulls in the last 2 years, this is crazy, by the way, he's exceeded value by 8 points, scoring at least 50 FanDuel points on average. 100%. Ran that trend earlier today to see how he does against the Bulls. 100% of those he scored plus 8. He's a lock for 50, you know, and okay, like at 10-3, I'm good with that. I don't know that at 10-5, John Wall's a lock for 50 in this game. I really liked him against Cleveland, against terrible Kyrie Irving defense, and he only scored 40. You know, I mean, I think that at this price, in a kind of a low-owned situation, perhaps an overlooked situation, KD is a nice stud option for 50 points. So, you know, I like him quite a bit tonight. I prefer that security versus LeBron or, you know, Paul George, he's priced up. Hayward's priced up. You know, Kawhi is obviously going to play, but he's playing in a game that they're going to win, and he's probably not going to play more than 28 minutes coming off that injury. You know, and Jimmy, we don't know if Jimmy's going to play. I wouldn't mind Jimmy at all in a pace-up game against Golden State, but we don't have any news on him yet. So Kevin Durant, it is at 10-3. I think he's a really solid option. In a really, really solid cash game play, you know, a good 50 points out of him. I don't think you're going to get 60, but you get 50, and you're definitely going to get more if Klay is out. At power forward, we've got two that I really, really like. And this may be where you want to spend tonight. I don't know. There's some value here too, but You got Kevin Love at 8-2, and you got Blake at 9-4. How Blake's price has not gotten up yet, I don't know, but I'll take it below 10K. But let's talk about Kevin Love first at 8-2. He's healthy. He's back. He shot really, really well in that Washington game, and he's facing an Indiana team that's bottom 10 in DVP to the shooting, or excuse me, the power forward, and possibly without Thad Young. You know, Thad Young is not a plus defender, but he is longer and faster than Lavoy Allen. You know, Kevin Love is a stretch four. You know, I look back at other stretch fours against the Pacers. They just saw Ibaka. Now, obviously, Kevin Love is a much more athletic version of that stretch four than Serge Ibaka, but Ibaka shot 40% from behind the arc. He scored 20 and had 9 rebounds. You know, okay, you put that into Kevin Love terms, you're looking at maybe 25 and 12 for that athletic boost. You know, 25 and 12 with some assists, Kevin Love in a game that should be competitive, possibly without Iman, probably without Iman Shumpert to also shoot, you know, the shoot the three. That usage bump for the big three is really nice. You know, Kyrie gets a lot of that usage, so I don't mind Kyrie as well, but Kevin Love is also 8-2. He's priced below Kyrie, so, you know, you like him as a kind of a lock for 40 points tonight. Last game, by the way, against the Pacers this season, 47 FD points. So it's a little chasey, but you gotta like a healthy Kevin Love priced reasonably. The other one, Blake is just crushing right now. He's got a great matchup with New York at 9-4. Porzingis is not a bad defender, and Blake doesn't have a great history against New York, to be honest with you. But the Knicks, they just struggle so much on the glass, on the inside. You know, they're one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA right now. You have to think that an athletic big like Blake is just going to continue that recent run of his where he has really, really put up nice performances, over 45 in the last three of his last four. You know, the Clips need something. They need a win. You know, Blake has been that boost coming back into the starting lineup after, you know, in the last five games. He's been that boost that they needed, you know, and he's trying to put this team on its back, on his back right now. And you like that. You know, you like where you have one sole star basically making this team better. So I love Blake tonight at 9-4. And if, hey, listen, I am totally rock solid happy if you decide that Blake at 9-4 is your stud. Like, if that's it and you want to say I'm paying fair and balanced for the rest of my lineup, I say that is a rock solid strategy because Blake is priced so reasonably. Everybody else is priced up in a way that you're kind of like, oh, geez, are you going to get me 50? You know, I think Kevin Durant gets you 50, of course, but, you know, I think Karl Anthony Towns, for example, I'm going to talk about him in a second, I think he gets you 50. The question is Blake could also get you 50 and save you $1,000 based on matchup and based on how he's been playing lately. So you like that upside quite a bit. At center, it's Cat and it's also Drummond. Cat is 10-8 and he has Jonas Valanciunas in the Toronto Raptors at home. We love Cat at home. He's plus 4 in offensive rating. He's up to almost 1.3 fantasy points per minute without LaVine. He's facing Valanciunas, who is not a great defensive center. He scored 30 last time against the Raptors. But, you know, the interesting thing is about that is Zach LaVine actually had 40 FanDuel points. So he had like 30 real life points. So, I mean, okay, fine. Cat doesn't have to score when Zach LaVine scores 30 real life points. Cat's averaged 48 FanDuel points in his last five games. You like him to hit 48 for sure, maybe 50 plus at home. He has a really nice correlation with Rubio, who also gets a huge bump without LaVine in the lineup. So, you know, totally comfortable with some Rubio Cat stacking there. You know, the thing is about center is you have to choose your center so wisely, and there's a lot of value on the center slate today. So Cat is a really good, solid option. Always a threat to go for 60. And also, by the way, I mean, competitive game, like that Raptors Wolves game should be very competitive. I think they match up really well. Then you also have Drummond at 8-3. He's not really in the high priced range, but I wanted to talk about him here because he has an elite matchup. He's priced, you know, at 8-3, just over 40 points is where you want him. He's got the Lakers, who are just literally the worst against the center. And he's going to get a pace bump. You know, I looked into what Drummond does in pace-up games, and it doesn't really correlate to production. You know, there's a lot of guys who, oh, pace-up game, that correlates directly to production. You know, KCP, for example, that correlates to production for him. Guy like Jimmy Butler, that correlates to production for him. Giannis. Drummond isn't really like that. But in plus matchups recently, he's been excellent, right? He's exceeded expectations in 80% of his matchups against the Lakers all time. You know, but in games like recently against Boston, Miami, Philly, those are all plus center matchups. He's crushed. He's had, you know, double-digit points, double-digit rebounds, which is what you want. I think he's a lock for 40-plus. The question is do you want to spend 8-3 on your center, who is somewhat inconsistent for cash game purposes, when you could spend that money maybe on Kevin Love, who has a higher ceiling? I just don't know. That's a challenging thing to me, because if you think about that price point, right, 8-3, okay, well, who else on the slate can I get with 8-3? It's Kevin Love. It's, you know, it's Goran Dragic. It's Kyrie Irving almost. It's, you know, Mike Teague is cheaper than that, or Mike Conley's cheaper than that. So it's just kind of, it's a question of cost there. And you just have a lot of value at center today. A lot of guys who are going to probably get 30 minutes in really good matchups who are below 5K. So don't know if you need to spend there, when you can get 30 points out of a value guy and you might only get 40 points out of an 8K guy. So it complicated, but we'll see. Okay, moving on. Fantasy Grout, the mid-tier guys, 5 to 8K range, who you want to fill in around your studs. Two guys, I'm going to offer two at least at each position. I just think it's helpful for people to have more than one option in this range. So especially on these large slates, I like Rubio and I like Teague. Rubio priced at 6-7, Teague at 7-4. I don't need to tell you that Dennis Schroeder has an excellent matchup. Like I'm not going to waste my time. He's 6-2. He's facing Denver in a pace up game. Dennis Schroeder all day. Okay. And the rest of the world will do that as well. Even though he's been wildly inconsistent lately. So if you want to get off of him, I don't mind that at all, because he's due for a bounce back and he can get you 30, no question. It's just a question of whether or not you trust Dennis Schroeder. You know, I do, because in plus matchups, that's when he basically decides like, oh, it's time for me to play well. Like he destroyed Elf Payton the other night. He went for 32 points. So anyway, Rubio though has a big bump without Levine. He's on home court. He's better at home. He's a whole 5 fantasy points better at home over the season. He's averaging a full fantasy point per minute without Levine, you know, and you got to think this is a competitive game. You got to think Rubio gets 36 minutes. Okay, fine. Give me 36 minutes, 36 points plus 5, Rubio for 40. I'll take it. Love it. Teague also at 7-4, great DVP situation against Kyrie, who's proven to be just pretty much like the most on and off defender in the regular season. Pacers are at home, which is a good situation for all Pacers. Their offensive rating is way better at home. And you like Teague to be kind of the second option behind PG in this one. He hasn't really done what we want him to do. He hasn't shown that 40-45 point ceiling. But in what should be a competitive game, I think that Jeff Teague will show up and really try to play well. Last game out against the Cavs, he had 24 and 8 assists with a steal and a block. That's pretty solid. You know, if he does that again tonight, that's what, 37, 36 points, and that's exactly where you want them to be at 7-4. So I'm good with Teague at 7-4. Question is will he get you 40? I don't think that's out of the question. He's done it a couple times this year, and especially in plus matchups. Do you want to pay 7-4 for Teague when you might have a guy in the fives who can get you 30? I'm not sure, but I think Teague is an excellent option if he falls to you. Now, right above him, $100 above him, is Mike Conley, who's facing, Phoenix. Now, don't expect him to go for 60 again. And people look at that history, they're going to go, oh, dang, he went for 60. Yeah, I mean, he shot 70% from behind the arc. He took 10 threes and he made 7 of them. Normally, Conley only takes about 6 to 8 threes and he makes three of them. So, there's 12 points right there. He still had an excellent game, at Phoenix. And don't get me wrong, like, Eric Bledsoe defense is making everybody look amazing. So I love Mike Conley tonight. He's at home. He's coming off a rest. I just don't think that you can expect 60 out of him. So I don't mind Teague as a little pivot off of Conley. I don't mind both of them. If you find a way to get both of them and fade Schroeder, do it. I just think there's also value down there at point guard. So, all right, at shooting guard, we have two rock solid options that I really like, and it is Tim Hardaway. Cephalosha is out. Hardaway is priced at 5'8". And then KCP at 5'3". Finally, his price came back down normal. But they're both in plus pace-up situations, which are very good for both of them. Nuggets and Lakers are terrible DVP to shooting guards. They have plus pace matchups. They both have exceeded expectations 70% of the time, almost 8 FanDuel points when they have a pace differential over 3. Okay, so I'll break that down a little bit more clearly. If they are playing a team whose pace is, 3 possessions greater than them, which in this situation, Nuggets and Lakers qualify, right? They have exceeded value by 8 points 75% of the time. So they have a good chance of exceeding their value, exceeding their projections by close to 8 points tonight. So you really like Hardaway and KCP in this matchup. You're going to see plus situations for both of them. I think it's a really nice night to roster them both. They're both priced below 6K. They're not on the value side. They're not in that, mid-tier upper range, but they are just rock solid, I think, for 30. And you love that number. It's 5X plus out of your shooting guards. At small forward, man, small forward is also kind of loaded, okay, in this range. Otto Porter at 6'6", Wilson Chandler at 6K, Marcus Morris at 5'9". All three of them, rock solid matchups, rock solid minutes. All three of them are going to get 32-plus minutes. All three of them are going to see really, really good situations. Otto Porter has Brooklyn. Marcus Morris has L.A. Bottom 3 DVP to the small forward. Atlanta's bottom 5 in the last 5 without Cephalosha. And Chandler has no Gallinari to compete with him, so he's been starting at the 3. Okay? They're all priced to hit 30 points or exceed 30 points. Porter being the most expensive, he's priced to hit 33, which is not crazy for Otto Porter. Otto Porter is just so freaking consistent. But they do have 40-point games in their last 3. All 3 of them have seen 40 points. So, okay, who do you like to hit 40 the most is the question, okay? Porter's the safest, I think. He definitely does the most as far as peripherals go. He'll do the assists. He plays defense. He gets the rebounds, I think that but you're paying for that security at 6'6". Chandler and Morris. Chandler by far has the most scoring upside. He could go for 25, 30 points, and they're cheaper. But they are a little bit more. They are a little bit more streaky. But with great matchups, you don't mind that streakiness. You like them to be in plus situations and try to get hot. So I like all three of those guys in that situation. I'm kind of avoiding the 7K tier. Wiggins is a lock for 34 points. I'll just say that. Wiggins will score 34, no question asked. The question is will the offense go through Towns, who has a plus matchup against Valanciunas, more than it needs to go through Wiggins, who will probably be playing some serious defense against DeMar DeRozan on one end. You know, I just don't know. Wiggins isn't getting a pace bump in this situation. He doesn't necessarily have a perfect EVP situation against Damari Carroll, who is a physical defender. You know, Damari's not like super fast, but he is physical, and he's well sized for Wiggins. You know, and I just feel like maybe Tibbs will say, let's give the ball to Towns. So, you know, I think Wiggy is a lock for 35, but if I can get 35 out of Wilson Chandler tonight at 6K, I'd rather take that. Okay, power forward, it's Markieff. Markieff at 6'9", kind of, ugh, I don't love the price. I don't know why it hasn't come down. He hasn't really hit 35-plus points in a couple games. I think his price will come down soon, which then we're going to play him. If he gets down to 6'5", give me the Markieff. He's got Brooklyn though, you know, and we know he's been excellent. Strangely enough, he is better on the road. Unlike, you know, John Wall and some of the other Wizards, Keefe is actually better on the road. You know, the concern that you have, of course, is blowout, him losing minutes to Kelly Oubre, who's been an excellent sixth man recently. You know, he's not going to lose minutes because Oubre is better than him. He's going to lose minutes because the Wizards are up by 20. Because everybody's scoring. You know, you saw that you saw it last night from all of the Hornets, okay? It was so nice. I was checked my score. It was at halftime, you know, I was like Kemba Walker 18, Nick Batum 19, you know, MKG 16, Frank Kaminsky 18. I was like, "Oh, this is great. Everybody has this nice balanced excellent scoring going on." Well, that's because one of those matchups with Brooklyn benefits the whole roster. So you don't really have takeover potential. So you don't always want the highest price exposure to a matchup with Brooklyn, for example. Blowout situation, you kind of want your more cost-efficient exposure to that. So Markieff is not the most cost-efficient exposure. John Wall is not the most cost-efficient exposure. Really, it is Gortat and Otto, who are 6'7 and 6'6. So if you're rostering Wizards tonight, I think it's Gortat or Otto, who sound like 1930s prohibitionists. Gortat and Otto, or like salesmen. I don't really know. Gortat and Otto, they sound like immigrants, immigrant extras on Boardwalk Empire. And that's not meant to be political. That's more meant to be theatrical. Boardwalk Empire, good show, really good show. Fell off in the later seasons, but it was really good when it was early. All right, anyway, Georgie Dang, also interesting at 5'5". He's priced perfectly for 30 points, and we target the Toronto front court without Patrick Patterson. The one thing that's interesting is Dang actually doesn't benefit from LaVine being off the floor. So you'd think like, oh, well, all of the Wolves should get a bump. It's just not the case. Jang actually struggles with LaVine off the floor. You got to think it's the rebounds or the assists. You know, I think that it's also that Kat soaks up a lot of that interior work. They just don't go to Jang as much. And you've seen it in the last couple games. He hasn't scored very much. He's only had 20 in a couple of these. But he's priced nicely for what could be a really good matchup. We target Toronto at the power forward position without Patterson. So if Patterson is out, you can think about Dang for sure. He's just priced really nice, and his minutes are really consistent, and it's going to be a competitive game. So, you know, think about Georgie Dang for sure. At center, you've got Jonas Valanciunas at 6K. He's going opposite a Cat. And Valanciunas is interesting in this one. He had 20 and 10 with an assist and a block last game against Cat. Okay, so that's 35 points. You know, at 6K, if he gets you 35 points, you are super pumped about that. You know, I Cat is just literally the worst center defender in the league. Here's what's interesting. His defensive rating this year is 110 in general, Karl-Anthony Towns, which is pretty terrible, by the way. But in February, it has been 124. That's absolutely like league worst territory. That is brutal. In February, Cat just doesn't play defense because I think he's expending everything on the offensive end. So Jonas Valanciunas is a rock solid cash game option at 30, you know, for 30 points. You know, and you're looking at this, Valanciunas is right there next to a trendy name like Hernan Gomez. People, okay, ooh, Hernan Gomez. Yeah, let me get some Hernan Gomez without Noah in the lineup. No, fuck that. Get Valanciunas. you know, and you might be saying to yourself, well, wait a second, DeRozan's back. Well, that's true, but the interesting thing about the Raptors is their offensive rating with DeRozan goes from 111 to 118. They're just a better offensive team completely with DeRozan. Like, they force teams to work harder, things open up, and I think that means that, you know, maybe Valanciunas doesn't get as much volume, but he's just as efficient. So I like Jonas Valanciunas quite a bit, especially priced down. He was priced a little bit higher last week. You know, we prefer him at 5'7". That's where he's been a lot of the season. But, okay, I'll take 6K. Horford is also interesting. I don't trust Al Horford, but banged up Sacramento front court. There's something there. In the bargain basement. All right, let's go on down to the bargain basement. You know, we're looking for guys in that 5K range. Got a lot of names on this slate, whole lot of names on this slate. You know, I'll talk through a lot of them. At point guard, we have Michael Carter-Williams. Michael Carter-Williams is going to get the biggest minutes bump without Jimmy in the lineup. So if Jimmy doesn't go, fire up your Michael Carter-Williams, but that's only if Jimmy doesn't go. They actually put him at the three in the starting lineup alongside Wade. It's interesting. And then Collison, 5'4", he's got Boston, which is a great matchup, and he's going to get that usage bump without Boogie on the four. Lawson is the same. Ty Lawson also there. He's going to get a good usage bump without Boogie. Raymond Felton, though, may be one of my favorite, most consistent cash game value point guards. I mean, look at Raymond Felton's – you know how FanDuel has that little line that shows where they're supposed to be performing and what they've been performing at? Raymond Felton is just steadily above value every single game. And he's still priced under 5K. He's in the starting lineup. He's benefiting from Blake being back because he's just – so many assists. He had an excellent 24-point outing against the Raptors. And in a 100-man 50-50, I had him against the Raptors the other night. 100-man 50-50, Felton was owned at 1%. He's got the Knicks tonight. He'll get 28 minutes, guaranteed. You can't really sleep on Felton just being so rock solid. Like, at 4-7, you just, like... you don't have to risk it. It's not a risk with Raymond Felton. He'll get you 24. Done. Lock it in. You know, no, there's not a lot of range of outcomes for Raymond Felton based on the way he participates in that offense, which you kind of love. It's not risky. And it's really, really easily priced. At shooting guard, which is why, I mean, personally, it's why sometimes I find myself often paying down for point guards just because I feel like they're so much more trustworthy than paying down for a power forward, for example. Who, if he doesn't rebound, is toast. You know, all your value coming through rebounding, a rebounding power forward. Whereas a value point guard is going to get all those touches distributing the ball, more opportunities to shoot. Value point guards to me sometimes are just really where to go. Anyway, at shooting guard, it is Marcus Smart. Interesting. Although he's in the point guard. Sorry, he plays shooting guard, but he's in the point guard pool. 5'6". You want to attack the wings of Sacramento, and you got to think that maybe if Boston gets out to a nice lead, that Smart gets a really nice bump here. The other one is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown has actually been starting over Smart. Smart's been on the second unit. Jaylen Brown for the Celtics is really kind of interesting, really interesting. I think he's only 4K somewhere there. If you want to spend down at shooting guard tonight and save some dough, maybe go stars and scrubs, Jaylen Brown is kind of sneaky. He's not consistent, but he's there. You got Brandon Rush as well. He's the fill in for he's the fill in for Levine. You know, I don't know. I don't love Brandon Rush. I've talked about him before. You know, there are certain situations this while LaVine is out this season when I will absolutely target Brandon Rush, you know, and plus matchups, for example. But against I don't know if it's against the Raptors tonight. I got to be honest with you. It just kind of makes me nervous. He's still priced at 3.9, but you know, he has a floor of like 7 points, and that's no good. That's really no good. So I'm not really too interested in Brandon Rush, I got to be honest with you. But he's there if you need him. And then you have JJ and Jamal. Jamal Crawford absolutely killing it. He's priced up to 5K. He's been playing incredibly well, but he is an incredibly safe option right now for over 20 points. We love targeting the shooting guard against targeting shooting guards against the Knicks. You know, pace bump for the Clippers. So Jamal Crawford, very, very safe right now. Crazy that you see him at 5K when he was on that cold streak earlier in January and no one would touch him. At small forward, you got a couple options. Matt Barnes still in play, of course, at 5'2". You know, you have the PJ Tuckers and the TJ Warrens, the PJ TJ twins. It's like JJ and Jamal and PJ and TJ. The kind of interchangeable parts priced basically right at 5K. But I'm not touching the PJ TJ combo tonight against Memphis. Just not doing it. Just don't chase it. And if one of them goes for 30 again, that's fine with me. I don't mind missing that tonight. It just doesn't feel like that's a lock, and it feels chasey, and I don't want to chase a bad situation in Memphis. I'll wait a game or two until they have another nice matchup. The other one, Shabazz, you know, second unit for the Wolves, and he really does have some nice numbers on that second unit, so you really don't mind Shabazz Muhammad. He is priced very reasonably at 4K, you know, and has been getting basically 4X recently, you know, had a really nice game against Cleveland. But he has a nice usage rate in that second unit for the Wolves, so you don't mind that. Matt Barnes is priced at 5'2 now too, so okay, oof, I don't know. That's a lot to pay for Matt Barnes, just to be clear. That's a lot to pay for Matt Barnes against Jay Crowder defense. Power forward, it might be time to get off the Matt Barnes train is what I'm trying to say. Okay, might be time. Matt Barnes has weird neck tattoos and choked someone in a New York nightclub, so it might be just time to say thank you, Matt Barnes, for your service as value, but we'll wait. I mean, he's going to get a ton of minutes. I just don't know if I trust him, and, like, if I can just go up to Wilson Chandler at, you know, from 5'2 to 6K, like, just give me that. Go up to Marcus Morris. Just give me that. I just feel better about those plays. They're right there, a couple hundred dollars more. So at power forward, it's Willie Cauley-Stein, of course. He will be the chalk du jour. Willie Cauley-Stein, very interesting chalk play here tonight. Everybody will be on him without Boogie in the lineup. But let me give you a couple pivots off of Willie that are also interesting. Okay, right there also, Anthony Tolliver getting the same number of minutes, equally consistent to Cauley-Stein, not as sexy as Cauley-Stein because he only has one last name. But he will get more minutes, or he gets more minutes than Willie Cauley-Stein. And also, you know, filling in for Boogie. Derek Favors had a really nice game against Atlanta the other night. Now, that might be a little bit narrative street because Favors is back in the ATL, which is where he is from. Played his ball down at the Georgia Technical College, Georgia Tech, the Ramblin' Wreck. But I don't know that Derek Favors is going to go for 20 and 10 again. I just don't see it. But he does have a real nice matchup with New Orleans. Then, of course, you have, you know, a guy like Larry Nance Jr., who's getting a ton of minutes recently, playing extremely well. You know, the only thing I'd caution us against is that Julius Randle got fouled out in that Knicks game. So Larry Nance picked up a lot of minutes just because of that situation. And then last but not least, we've got Lavoy Allen back in the mix here. Lavoy Allen is in play, of course, of Thaddeus Young. So, of course, these are all options to go away from Willie Cauley-Stein. Everybody will be on Willie Cauley-Stein tonight. I don't mind if you don't play him. I got to be honest with you. I think he'll play well, but at 4-6, do you think he can score you 25 FanDuel points? I think that's kind of his... I think that's kind of his ceiling. You know, yeah, 25 feels like a ceiling game for Willie Cauley-Stein. And I don't know how much I'm interested in his floor, which is literally -1. he won't get -1 because he'll just get more minutes than that. But it's true. Okay. Then at center, this is interesting, okay? John Henson at 3-9, real solid matchup against Whiteside. Pick on Whiteside. Whiteside is literally the weakest part of the Miami defense, even though he's like the biggest and strongest part. He's a terrible defender. So John Henson at 3-9, if we know he's going to start again, which he's been getting the start, although Greg Monroe really had a pretty solid game last game, kind of did some more offensive things. And Monroe does have more offensive firepower than Henson, to be clear. Henson doesn't have that offensive firepower like Monroe, but Henson actually plays defense. And then O'Quinn, of course, might start, but Hernan Gomez has been more productive. But my kind of favorite sneaky play is Dwayne Dedmon, man. Let's go back to Dwayne Dedmon. Like, he had 30. Okay, he had 30 against Philadelphia last game, and of course, LaMarcus Aldridge sat in that game. All right. But Dedmon is only priced at 3-8. Okay. The Philadelphia front court has been bleeding rebounds constantly. And while you love LaMarcus Aldridge in that situation to maybe have a really nice scoring night, you love Dedmon to get you 10 plus rebounds in this situation. I just don't think there's any reason not to go back to the well with Dedmon, especially if we get the sense that he's going to start. If he's going to start and he will, which he's gotten, you know, over 20 minutes in the last couple games, you get Dwayne Dedmon 24 minutes against the Philadelphia front court. Ugh, give me that. Give me that all day. Thank you, Jahlil Okafor, for never rebounding. So, you know, I like that quite a bit. It should be a rock solid call. You know, which also leads me to, don't forget about LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, if you want to pivot off of K-Love, LaMarcus is right there. You know, he has not really been a world beater recently, but he's priced at 7-6. He's priced really nicely. Really plus matchup with that Philadelphia front court. That's absolutely terrible. So, okay, let's go on to lineup lock. This is the segment, of course, where I give you a full lineup to work from here. And this is a cash core, right? This is a starting point. This isn't exactly what I'm guaranteed to go with. And in fact, I may very well make some changes here. I'm going to tool with it right after I finish the show. But this is where I'm kind of at for the moment. And I like this lineup to get started tonight. At point guard, Darren Collison and Dennis Schroeder. At shooting guard, it's Tim Hardaway and Jamal Crawford. At small forward, Wilson Chandler and Kevin Durant. At power forward, it's Blake and K-Love. Notice the full fade of Willie Cauley-Stein there, which could bite me, I don't know. And then at center, it's Dwayne Dedmon at 3-8. So, you know, interesting, definitely feeling maybe, okay, get off K-Love and get down to Willie Cauley-Stein and then take that extra money and pay for another point guard. Definitely interested in that option. Definitely interested in possibly if we get news that Jimmy isn't going to play or that Clay is in, then I'm going to get off Kevin Durant, get down to Otto Porter and spend up at point guard. You know, all this stuff in play. You know, and if I go spend up at point guard, basically what I'm going to do is if I can end up with, let's say, $3K more. Let's do this Kevin Durant trick, right? Let's say I go Wilson Chandler and Otto Porter. Okay, very straightforward. And then I get $3,800 more. I'm going to upgrade Schroeder to Mike Conley. And then I still have $2,500. I'm going to upgrade, you know, very easily upgrade Jeff Teague, upgrade to Jeff Teague. Or I could go, you know, Rubio and Kyrie. I could go Schroeder and I could go Kyrie, Rubio. I could go Steph and Collison. That is a really nice late hammer if Clay is out. That's a really interesting one instead of KD. So, you know, the options are all there to tool with it, you know, change it up how you like. I originally wanted to be on KCP as well. But I think Jamal Crawford and KCP have very similar range of outcomes. You know, I'm okay with Crawford at 5 rather than KCP at 5-3. So that's where we're working with. That's what we're working with to start the night. We'll see where we end up based on late news, etc. Hit me up on Twitter. You guys know where to find me. It's Hey Mr. Kane. And look for the interview episode of the week to air this afternoon. It's a nice 30-minute conversation with DFS Bear. We talk about large slate versus small slate construction. You know, avoiding certain mistakes, pitfalls that he falls into, that I fall into. And we talk a little bit about the Wednesday slate, so check that out. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in, and good luck in your contest tonight.